All right. Yay. Thank you, everyone, for listening to Thank You for Being a Podcast. We are the Golden Girls podcast, in which we watch an episode of the Golden Girls, and then we break it down scene by scene like crazy people. I'm Anthony DeSamito.
I'm Genevieve Rice.
And today we have a very awesome guest, the very lovely, funny Virginia Jones.
Yay! Hello, everyone.
Hello.
I'm so glad to be with you both, some of you virtually.
Yay. So thank you for being here, Virginia. You're actually the first person that we have on the podcast as I moved to LA and we're Skyping Genevieve in. Mm-hmm. And so congratulations.
Thank you so much. I'm honored.
Genevieve, Virginia has provided me with sour grapes and some delicious homemade latte, mm-hmm. espresso latte.
Oh, nice.
Come to my house. You will have a latte. You can also have an Americano.
Mm-hmm. Oh, breaking a rule, eating on the podcast. I don't give a fuck. We usually start off by asking our guest, what is their Golden Girls background? Mm-hmm. Like, how has Golden Girls affected your life in any way? So go ahead, Virginia.
Well, I'm new to Golden Girls. When it was on, I was a young teen who was much more concerned about doing drugs and getting into adult nightclubs.
Ooh.
So I was always aware that Golden Girls was on, but I'm sure I've seen an episode, but it's fresh and new to me. We're just unpacking it like a beautiful like time capsule.
Yeah. That's poetry.
Yeah.
Before Golden Girls, I was super into Knight Rider, and after Golden Girls, I was super into Twin Peaks, but I was never that into Golden Girls.
Knight Rider's awesome.
Yeah, so I think that if Golden Girls had a talking car, so much the better.
We haven't gotten to that episode yet. The talking
You're
car
right.
episode.
You're right.
Yeah,
I should be patient.
I have a feeling like in the sixth season, they just introduce a talking car.
My mother's a car, and then my retired mother is a car. Well, I was asking Anthony, I'm like, I'm watching this episode with him, and we'll definitely go through scene by scene, but like there's so many like 80s jokes. I'm like, how, like, do you millennials, like, do you Google these things?
Google.
Like, mm-hmm. How do you know, like, how do we know what the jokes are about?
Oh, I remember Dan Quayle and Marilyn Quayle and how much of a travesty that was.
Do you remember
I did not
the 10,000 points of light?
I did not know who Bill Moyer was at all.
Okay.
Yeah, so I had to look him up. So, yeah.
Sometimes we are on, we just are on Google while we watch the episode because we're like,
what is
they'll
that?
Throw things at us. But sometimes we'll get, one of us will know something. And we'll
be
like,
I'm also, I'm old, so.
Like, no, I know you're old. I'm talking about this bitch.
I'm 28.
But, there was one thing that really caught my ear in this episode. Yeah, it's so many current events jokes and stuff you just I haven't thought about, I haven't unpacked for years.
The Ed Sullivan
reference.
For Ed Sullivan, yeah. And I was like, oh shit. Like people had punchlines for all that stuff.
Yeah. Ed Sullivan is very famous. He brought America the Beatles.
Oh yeah, he did. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so this episode, well, we start off by usually we start off also secondly. We start off by asking Genevieve will do a brief synopsis of the episode we just watched for the listener who actually didn't watch it with us. So Genevieve, synopsed away.
All right.
Synopsimize.
Synopsimize, please.
So Dorothy and Sophia get back from a funeral, and for Sophia's best friend Edith, who's been replaced by Mildred, and it gets the ladies thinking about death. And it gets Dorothy like more so than usual. Like, it's kind of all around them anyway, all the time. But Dorothy decides she wants to reconnect with Sophia and have a heart to heart with her. And so they go away for a weekend, and Blanche and Rose decide to write a children's book together. So,
whoa,
oh, Godiva. Yeah. Godiva has made an appearance.
There's like a light coming out of her butthole.
She has a lot of opinions about Golden Girls. Oh my God, is this right. Porno?
All right. All right, sweetie. If you don't mind, I'm going to lock up Godiva really quick.
Okay,
no problem.
Put your pussy away. We're podcasting.
Dang.
Dang, girl.
We saw some frontal cat pussy.
You feel you have a little PTSD? You feel okay?
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm in a little shock right now.
Yeah. It just happened so fast. talking, Golden Girls. And then this light boom, was like in the
shining
face.
From her butthole. Like, it was
no, we
amazing.
All have that.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. There was that Smith song, There's a Light That Never Goes Out, and it's about the light that comes out of women's buttholes. It's 1,000 points of light in the butthole.
All right, I'm back. I assumed you guys talked a lot about my cat's butthole, and it was pretty magical.
That could be true. Yes. You're going to have to check the recording to make sure.
You'll have to listen back to it. And so, great synopsis. The episode we watched was season 4, episode 16, and it is titled Two Road Together.
Well, sorry, we were interrupted by Cat Butthole, but I'm sure that Genevieve was going to tell us they take this trip where...
Oh my God, did I
Blanche
interrupt?
And okay. Sophia, or not Blanche, so Dorothy and Sophia have very different expectations of the trip, and they find out that they want to do different things.
Yeah.
Yeah, but then at the end they come together. You'll be surprised that then Rose and Blanche at home also have a conflict, but at the end they come together.
Yeah,
so it's nice.
So this title fits for both situations
on so many levels.
I'm just glad it all worked out for everybody.
It worked. Yeah, everybody was happy at the end,
except for the dead lady.
Yeah,
and, I feel like Edith probably lived a good life. She was 88. Seemed like she was pretty happy. Edith?
It's only 6 years older than mother, so you know what I'm thinking.
Sophia is never gonna die. And the original air date was February 18th, 1989, and it was about a month or so after George Bush Sr.'s inauguration. So that's the picture we're painting for our listeners.
Yeah.
So to go back to that,
everyone still loves
Bush Sr. Wait, is this his second term, right? That's his second term.
No, this is his first term.
His first term.
He was only a one-term president.
Because 1992 was second term, right?
Oh, that's right. And then Clinton came in 96.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. So
No. Clinton came in 92. Clinton was... George Bush was only a one-term president.
We fucked this up horribly. You're right.
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
What I remember about this moment.
I gasped. Sorry.
You're right. What I remember, because it seemed like a long time because we were little.
Well,
like,
he
all
was
that stuff. The choking on the pretzel.
He was vice president. He was vice president under Reagan.
Right. So he. It was funny when they made the Dan Quayle joke about being mediocre. I'm like, look, he was VP for 4 years. Like, he did all right. He was okay. I remember just a random moment. I was standing on my high school campus making some kind of joke about 1,000 points of light with the skater boys that I was constantly attempting to date in my high school. And in that time, Genevieve, in order to be a real weirdo, like a real like cross the street, like they're evil, like you just had to grow your bangs really long. Like that's the only way.
Yeah, that was like the scariest thing you could do in the 90s.
From a dangerous kid, just like long bang. Like now kids, I feel bad, they have to pierce their whole face and get like horn implants. But then if you just grew your bangs long, you were fucking mad, bad, and dangerous to know.
Yeah, to quote presidential inaugurations.
Sure, I mean, because we were all essentially nerds. Yeah. Like we were just like alt nerds. That's a good fit for who my friends were in high school. Yeah.
So we're painting a picture of where Virginia was in life around this time.
Okay, so February 18th, 1989. I'd probably just bangs to the side. I'd probably just had an annoying Valentine's Day.
I keep gasping.
It's so tragic.
It's annoying.
Yeah. So yeah, okay. So I don't mean to keep taking over. Let's do this thing.
Okay. So we talked about the funeral, and it awakened something in Dorothy. They're all in the living room, and Sophia's like, yeah, she died. I need a new best friend, and so she's gonna. So because when you're older, like, your friends die, and so you gotta like think, oh, who am I gonna go to bingo with? That was her bingo partner.
Right. She died during bingo.
During bingo.
Oh man. Is there anything more like old person-y than that? Like really dying during bingo?
Yeah. What did you say it was?
More old person-y.
Yeah, right. it's a really old person-y way to die.
Like maybe like if a doily killed her, I don't know.
One thing I really like about the scene, just how it plays out, is well, of course, we get the joke where Sophia says, well, my new best friend is so-and-so. You don't even really like her. Well, the way my friends are going, I'm not going to have her for very long. And she storms out of the room. So then Dorothy is clearly upset.
Yeah.
And she leaves the room. She walks into the kitchen. All the other characters wordlessly stand up, follow her into the kitchen, and then, making no discussion, they sit down and they start having cheesecake and coffee.
Right.
Like, no one says, we should have cheese. Right. You're upset. We should have cheesecake and coffee. They just start bringing out the stuff. Like, it's kind of surreal.
Yeah.
And then they're just eating cheesecake and talking about death.
It was like a Woody Allen movie where, like, everybody, all the characters do 20 things while they're talking.
Right.
You know, it's like they don't even, like, think about it.
Yeah.
Like, maybe before the funeral, they were like, all right, girls, just don't go to the funeral. Stay here and have cheesecake ready.
Be sitting in the living room when I come in. And then if any moment I appear to be upset and I move into the kitchen, just fucking throw down cheesecake.
So, yes. So.
Cheesecake was the 80s lady upset food.
Lady upset food.
Kathy the comic strip knew it.
Yeah, she did.
Joan Rivers knew it. Oh, cheesecake, my thighs. Everybody knew that having sweetened cream cheese with a graham cracker crust, which has never seemed delicious to me, like that was the thing you wanted. It's only a little sweet, really fatty.
I think another thing that you were asking me, like, what made me gravitate towards Squirrel and Girls. I used to, when I was little,
love cheesecake.
My mom used to sell cheesecake in Mexico when we lived in Mexico. And we used to go door to door selling cheesecake to people.
Yeah.
And so, like, I just remember that now. And
man. Yeah. So you've always had the Golden Girls inside you.
Into your gay old ladiness.
Yeah. I was selling cheesecake, like, when I was, like, 6 years old.
Oh, my gosh.
So.
I bet you were the cutest cheesecake salesman.
I was also very liberal and political when I was younger, too. Yeah, in Mexico, like, I used to go to, like, Mexico, like, political rallies and stuff and, like, march and stuff. But that's another story.
It's another story for another time.
For another time. And so Dorothy, she's very emotional in this episode. And she starts talking about how she wants to remember Sophia's every wrinkle in her face and every, like, joke that she makes. Mm-hmm. And it sort of made me emotional because I feel that way about my mom. And I'm just like, I don't even try to think about her dying because it's like, it would just, oh my God, so many things I didn't do with her, blah, 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 you know, like, and so I could relate to Dorothy on so many levels.
Well, and it just creeps Sophia out.
Yeah.
Like having that documentary eye on you, like that, like, I'm trying to freeze you in time. That's a creepy thing.
Yeah, that is creepy. She's it's like very, like, psycho.
Right.
She's going to wear Sophia's wig.
Which is a terrible wig. Like, that was a big budget show. Get a better wig. It's like it looks like a goddamn Halloween wig that they have on that old lady's head.
In the 80s, they just had different standards for wigs. Like, in
general. They're like, this is clearly a wig.
I think that's probably a rainbow wig. Like, that rainbow wig guy.
I don't know, because Dolly Parton was around in the 80s. And her wigs have always been a maze.
Right.
But Dolly Parton is on a different level.
You're right. She is in so many ways.
We should all be as good as Dolly Parton.
You should have seen the wig from the pilot. It was like they found a white clown wig and just trimmed it. That's
so like, that's close enough.
It was ridiculous. Yeah.
Yeah. No, I had an important conversation with my mom when I lost my dad. And so we have agreed that she can never die. So I'm like, you're it.
That was mentioned in
you
this.
You're not allowed to die. My mother is turning 70 next week and we're going to Washington, D.C. because, old lady shit is what my mom likes to do. And we're going to do all the old lady shit.
Yay.
We're going to the Smithsonian and we're going to go look at the Lincoln Memorial and like see places where people who are dead now went to sleep once. It's going to be so great. So like, that's very, I'm like, yeah, I'm definitely in the place of this.
A historian's like nerd paradise.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, my mother is a giant history nerd.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
What if like the kids get do? And
she will destroy
like,
you
in Washington, D.C.
pursuit.
Though.
She will. Yeah. Yeah, she will destroy you.
that Genevieve?
What are like the young kids do in Washington D.C. though?
Just
like,
follow my mother around.
They go to punk shows. That's what I hear.
They do. There's a big punk scene. I'm doing some comedy there at the underground, but not too much because I'm mostly going to be hanging out with my mother and my sister.
The underground is such a like.
It's everywhere.
Every place has a place called the underground. It's
trivia
funny.
Fact.
Always amazing.
And it's always a basement room. Yeah. Trivia fact. The most popular name for a goth club in the world is The Sanctuary.
No.
There have been over 300 nights and bars and nightclubs called The Sanctuary.
Oh, wow.
Germany. There used to be one in Portland, but like that's just like all the little bats are like, I'm safe here.
There used to be a goth bar in Phoenix. And it turned into a gay club.
So
and
close,
so
the two
like
things.
Gargoyles everywhere.
Yeah.
And gay guys are like dancing and like next to these gargoyles. It's super cool. I'll take you. And
yeah.
It's amazing. I'm like, get that gargoyle boy. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Grind up on it.
You grind watch out for me from over a high.
Well, he's real ugly, but it looks like he could be rich. So
he's like, how old are you? Good thing there's
you
coffins
look strong.
Around here.
Are you
made
the top
out
of the
stone?
Bottom? You're the top of a castle. Holy shit. And what is a French bulldog but a gargoyle come to life?
Oh,
questions.
That's so cute.
Gothic gay crossover questions.
But then your bulldog turns into stone during the day.
I mean, there's always been a big goth gay crossover. Like, I was married to a trans lady and I didn't even know it because goths dress like women half the time anyway. Like,
oh wow,
you know, the gender is like a turtle where you have to pick him up and turn him over to really be sure.
gender is like a turtle.
And then when she wanted to start wearing dresses all the time and I'm like, oh, I didn't know.
Someone's calling me. Decline.
We're going to decline. Sorry. P.S. I'm enjoying watching this bitch get Grindr shout outs while we're doing the thing. He's very popular because he's Diego. Adorable.
That's the guy that wants to rent to me.
rent what? I'm doing faces just for Genevieve.
Okay. And so
he's
a podcast and I know that.
He wants to rent his dick to you.
Exactly.
He wants to rent his dick.
He wants to rent all your available spaces.
The thing about Sophia is that she thinks that Dorothy wants to put her back in a home.
Right.
She's like, okay, I just took her to a funeral. The next step is to take her to a retirement home. That's what Sophia is thinking for some reason.
Right.
And so she used to make moccasins.
So I think the story that's being, and this is a lot of extrapolation because I'm just coming into this. I'm just wet behind the ears. I don't know nothing.
Yeah, that's fine.
What I feel might have happened is when Dorothy was still with Stanley before he passed, that they put Sophia in a home.
Right.
Before they came up with the Golden Girls living situation.
Right.
So I think that Sophia is fearful of that, although it doesn't really make any sense because they're all living together and she's doing fine. She's super functional. But and she did feel that they were using old person labor to make lanyards and moccasins.
Was it lanyards as well?
They made me make lanyards. I didn't want, against my will. Leave me sizes. I'll get you some black. Tell me if you want your moccasins in brown or black.
If you're going to put on a comedy festival, let me know. I can make you some lanyards, Blanche.
I know, that's like my first thought. I was like, how much to get some of those like old people lanyards? Like,
yeah. they're expensive. So that really definitely cheapen the cost. Okay, and so the next, so then Dorothy's like, I'm going to take her to the Florida Keys. And this was, she came up with this idea while Rose was telling a fable. And the fable
it's about a magical tiger.
Minnesota fable, and it's about a magical tiger. And the tiger is named Tuner the Mediocre. And so, which is a fable that Rose was trying to tell Dorothy to help her out in her problem of possibly losing her mom soon. And so Tuner the Tiger's wife, who never, I think, had a name.
Just the tiger's wife. There's that tiger, there's his wife.
There's his wife. And so she wished upon something, I forget, that Tuner would not be mediocre anymore. He would be magnificent. And so then after that, Tuner was so busy that he couldn't hang out with his wife. And so Tuner left his wife eventually for his like manager, because that's a thing that happens in fables.
With tiger, yeah, his tiger management.
Tiger management.
He's like, well, this is just where I need to be.
Tiger
this is where
fable
I need to be now.
I would expect from Minnesota.
Like, our time together was great, but I feel like I need more career wise. Yeah.
What's that, Genevieve? Did it stop?
I don't know. All I was saying was this is the type of fable that fable about tigers that I would expect from somebody from Minnesota. So.
Yeah, accurate. Well, because like once it's established that he's a tiger, nothing else relates to that. Like he's a magician. I'm like, well, isn't it enough that he's a talking tiger? Like, isn't that like, would you really in Minnesota? Would you really call a talking tiger mediocre? He would be great at being a talking tiger.
He would. Yeah, that's pretty amazing in Minnesota.
And so then his wife asks him to go back to being mediocre so she can have more time with his mediocre tiger ass.
Is it possible that you're a talking tiger in Minnesota, but you're so boring that no one cares that you're talking to?
Sure, the tiger's talking, but he's really only talking about pancakes.
He's talking, he doesn't shut up. Like,
he's just talking about fishing, like,
and how cold it is. Yeah. Oh, how cold is it today? Well, you got a fur coat. I'm tired of hearing that all the time.
You're like, you're magical for this.
This is what we get.
And so, okay, so then the next scene, Sophia is calling the airline because they're going to go to Disney World. And she's on the airline. She's like, I'm trying to figure out, the 505 flight to Orlando. I want to talk about the arrangement we made to take my mother away from, take her to a home.
She's doing a little bit of Nancy Drewing because she does not trust Dorothy.
She's really paranoid.
Now, Anthony pointed out, you know, Miami to Orlando, they could have driven and they could have, like, it would be an hour flight. They could have driven in 3 hours and 30 minutes, but keeping in mind that it's two old ladies, they would have taken them 6 hours with pee breaks.
Right. Pee breaks.
Oh yes, yeah. Totally.
And they have to stop at every haberdashery.
Yeah. Because there's many haberdasheries. Yes. They have to get all the hats.
All the hats.
Oh man. So many precious moments shops too.
Yeah. Oh God. Oh no. That route between Orlando and Miami is just chock a block with precious moments figurines. Someone might be having a candle factory. You'd have to go to that shit. That's just going to cut into your mouse time, your mousecation time.
Precious moments outlet.
Oh, I should mention something. This is kind of off topic, but since we're talking about precious moments, apparently there's a precious moments museum in Missouri and you can get married at it.
Whoa.
Can you get married if you're not a 3-inch tall baby?
I hope not. I hope it's only if you're a cherub looking person. So. Yeah.
A tiny statuette. A
cherub looking person. Oh man.
Worth checking out.
there was a very moment that would not happen now on TV, but the cab showed up. And Sophia.
Someone was talking about fear.
Fear. Well, like, I want to go on Space Mountain.
Oh, that's right. And Dorothy said, no, that's too scary.
That's a dangerous ride. And then she opens the door. The cab's there honking or whatever. And I say that because he could have not been honking. But and then she's like, dangerous ride, a little too late. Our cabbie's wearing a turban.
Yeah. If you don't want a scary ride, our cabbie's wearing a turban. Totally fine in 1989 to make fun of a person of Arabic or you know, Muslim. Indian Muslim descent.
Yeah,
you know, the sheiks wear a turban. Multiple people wear turbans.
We're like naming all the religions that are against turbans, probably. Like, I don't even know.
Sikh will wear a turban. Yeah. Yeah, it's totally fine in 1989 for an old woman to say that. One thing, and I know you guys are a big picture, but one thing that really I noticed about this show is like how every single character is one note all the time. Like Dorothy is the only, is it kind of like they're all parts of the same brain or something? Like Dorothy is normal. Sophia is just talking about gangster stories. Rose is so aggressively stupid. Like there's no reason that Rose would be alive because she would have been killed under a garage door many, many years ago.
She's the luckiest dumb person.
And then
she's made it.
And then Blanche is not just slutty but also horny. But like it's such a nice, like it would have been wonderful to be a writer for the show because you're just like, well, we got to make 20 whore jokes about Blanche.
Oh yeah.
And like
dumb jokes.
And then dumb jokes. And then one normal person moving through life in a sensible way. And then everybody else just has this one note that they hit again and again. I'm like, this is totally doable. This is totally doable.
I totally wanted to write for Golden Girls when I was little. And
did you ever submit?
I wanted to, but I didn't know the show was canceled.
Right. That does make it hard.
I don't understand. Like, I didn't understand what canceling.
Right. Because the show was still on television. So.
Yeah. So I was like, oh, it must still be on. And so, yeah, every single person has like a part of them that is magnified. And so it becomes like a game in a way. And okay. So the next scene, was a scene where Blanche is doodling. Well, it's the same scene. Rose just goes into the kitchen. And Blanche has the idea of becoming or partnering up and writing a children's novel about Tuner the Tiger. Mm-hmm. And so they get really excited about that. And which it was kind of weird to me because I didn't know that Blanche had this
talent. Right.
Yeah.
She spends so much time on her back. When is she going to learn how to draw? Like maybe it is like the Sistine Chapel and she's just got a paintbrush there.
She's
but
fucked hidden, and painting at the same
hidden
time.
Hidden talents. Blanche drew this beautiful tiger, which we never, to be fair, we never really see. We see suggestions of the
tiger. I mean,
maybe
if Blanche weren't so slutty, like she'd become like Da Vinci or something like of our time.
Do you think that Tiger Suggestion is a good name for a band?
Yes, I love
yes,
it.
That's okay. Awesome. Okay.
Yeah, so they determined that with Rose's stories, which she's not claiming to make up, but she believes her father made them up.
She believes, because she thinks that's the truth. With you know, like she's heard these stories all her life. So, and she's at she. What was weird was that there were so many characters in this fable later on. And like, I'm jumping a little bit ahead, but okay. And so they decide, yes, we're going to write this book. And the next scene, they're in Orlando and they're in the Orlando Hotel. Mm-hmm. And
which just as their home is just a symphony of rattan and leafy, brush plants.
They like they must have taken photos of their home and they're like, give me this.
Please duplicate this pastel and rattan nightmare. That is the only way I can live my life.
The same like feather plant.
Yes.
The same exact
same
line.
Everything. Same it everything. Was, or I'm out.
I know. It was the most Golden Girls like themed resort I think I've ever seen.
Like it was the Golden. I think Golden Girls like that. Like the set was at Disney World for a while, which is really strange.
It's really interesting.
Like it's not there anymore, but like you could go visit it, which was amazing. Like I would have loved it. But you can go visit the house here. It's here in somewhere in the hills.
It's in Brentwood.
Brentwood.
That makes sense.
I thought about going to go see it after
this. You should go. You should sell it. That's how you should celebrate your new Los Angelino status, yeah, is go see that house in Brentwood. When I first moved here, I went to the street where a few houses apart are the Donnie Darko house and the Ferris Bueller house.
Oh, whoa. Wow.
Mind blower.
I love both.
They're in the same neighborhood in Belmont Shores down in Long Beach. So it's a bit of a drive, mm-hmm, but it's great.
And one took place like around that, the time.
Yeah, Ferris Bueller is a Golden Girls era film. Yeah.
Oh,
sure.
I should also mention, did you know that the parents from Ferris Bueller, Ferris's parents, they got married in real life?
Oh, that's sweet.
Yeah, they didn't know each other.
We want to create the real Ferris.
That's nice. I know my favorite Hollywood love story is when Baz Luhrmann remade Great Gatsby a couple years ago. The gentleman who was the stand-in for Leonardo DiCaprio is a comedian named Andrew Slater. And the lady who was the stand-in for Daisy Buchanan is a lady comedian named Heidi Hayward. And they got married. They fell in love on that set, just standing in the light.
That's so cute.
Just standing in the light, talking to each other.
My favorite Hollywood romance story is there's this actor named Brad Pitt.
I've heard of him.
And Angelina Jolie.
Yeah.
And they made a movie called Mr. and Mrs. Smith,
where they were married spies.
They were with married spies, and then Angelina ended up fucking Brad Pitt and marrying him.
And leaving her previous relationship.
Yeah. This little actress, Billy Bob Thornton. Jennifer Aniston, that you might know from the movie Leprechaun.
Right.
Jennifer Aniston met Justin Theroux, who's pretty awesome.
Right. But that was a good 10-15 year gap between her revenge relationship. I felt bad for Jen, and apparently she found out on Oprah that she wasn't going to be married anymore.
Oh wow.
That's the thing that I remember.
That's not a good thing to find out on Oprah.
No,
yeah,
it's not good. Hey,
you're not getting married.
And I don't remember the part of the show where they determined that they would just adopt 1,500 children from other lands, but that's what happened. Okay, so they get to Orlando. They enjoy the beautiful hotel.
Right, and the thing is, so it's been Sophia's dream to go to Orlando and go on Space Mountain. And just have fun. And Dorothy is kind of like not getting it. She's like,
Dorothy's super focused on her knees, which is spending time with her mother and nostalgia. And like that scene actually made me a little anxious, because when you spent the money to go to Orlando, you are getting up at the crack of goddamn dawn to go see that mouse. And so like the part where Dorothy's just farting around and like I didn't know why Sophia put up with it. Like they could be definitely doing this at home.
Right. She painted, and I do this sometimes where I think something's gonna go a different way, mm-hmm, and a certain way, and it does it, and I'm like, okay, that's fine.
Right.
That's why I'm never in a relationship, because that doesn't happen very often. And so it did piss me off, because I was like, you're spending all this money,
right?
Yeah,
like to travel.
Slides on a vacation.
Yeah.
Yeah, right. Slides and a vacation.
That you have in your house where you live.
She must have put... she brought that thing on a plane.
Right.
That slides.
That should be a TSA watchword. Like, you should not allow an old woman to bring a slide projector on a plane.
Yeah, because it will destroy everybody's...
That's why she should just do a PowerPoint like everybody.
Why didn't she do a
keynote?
You're
just gonna bore everybody with your landscape photos.
Exactly. And
yeah, so Sophia had no idea she was bringing all this nostalgia, because she was too busy thinking she was gonna get put in a home. So
Or go to Space Mountain.
Hey, yeah. I'm sorry, I need to stop for a second. I need to fix something on my phone.
Cat's meowing.
Meow. I'm abandoned. I'm so sad.
No one's looking at my vagina. Through a phone. Grapes are delicious.
I'm so glad you're enjoying. Cats do love podcasts.
Yeah. And then all of a sudden,
and like my reviewer started saying,
yeah, I didn't even know. She would just be like in the background. Like, I don't have her anymore because she was your roommate, but
I imagine you'd be like,
wow. Why do you need here? Well, like, I try to think about it in the cat's perspective, like, where you're just sitting there talking and talking and talking, and they think that you're, I guess, calling them or, you know, like.
Well, why are you putting your energy towards something that's not me?
Yeah, like, why are you just sitting there, like, blah, 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 blah? Let's do this.
Like, you're not eating food. You're not petting. This is a waste of goddamn
time. Oh, my God. Yeah. And also, Godiva has this thing, too, where she's jealous of the phone. Like, if you're talking on the phone, she basically will just, she will like, mew at you harder. Like, it's like she wants the other people on the other side of the phone to, like, know that she's there and that she's cute and not getting petted enough.
She knows. She knows that there's someone in that square that you're holding that's getting more attention.
She's just okay. Anyway, sorry.
Okay. All right. So we're back. And so they stay in. So Sophia decides we're gonna stay for a little while. And
they make a compromise.
Compromise. They meet in the middle about
like, this. We're gonna look at this dumb shit for a little while, and then we're gonna go to Space Mountain, which is why I'm here.
And so So then the next scene. It's the scene where Blanche and Rose are in the living room, and Blanche just finished drawing all of the characters, which I guess there was more fables were connected.
Yeah, we just heard the tiger fable, but there's a monkey and all kinds of.
There are more agents. Mm-hmm. There are more performers in this like circus. I guess I'm trying to fill in the holes. Basically, like, what is this world about? And so Rose, well, they talk about synergism, which sounds like really sexual to me already, like energy and symbioticness. Mm-hmm. And like the word jism,
right? Like, together.
Yes,
that makes me think of
jizz and also like robots. Yeah.
And orgasm together.
Yeah.
And robots.
Yeah.
And so and so their synergism is that they're working together. Also, synergism happened when Blanche and another man met in the parking lot of a Howard Johnson, which was amazing.
Hojo.
Amazing joke.
Right.
And so...
And then Rose, who has had children but doesn't know what sex is like, I still don't know what you're talking
about.
She's
had like five kids. I think she just like didn't know someone was fucking her.
Right.
She's
just like, she might have... just been reading, like, talking about the tiger. It could be.
Tuner, yeah. She's talking about Tuner the tiger. Which
I think,
could have been.
Rose's whole life is just laughing when she thinks she has to laugh. Like, that's how she survived.
Yeah, just like that societal pressure.
And then, okay, so then Blanche shows her the artwork, and she gets a critique from Rose, and Rose had some minor changes.
And Blanche doesn't love the critique.
She's like... fuck that shit. She's like, this is perfect.
Yeah.
This is like, and then there was like Miku Mookie, that's the sailor. There's other characters. There's a whole world. It's like, it's the Wuzzles or like.
Yeah. Rose starts nitpicking and Blanche makes it clear that she is open to zero feedback.
Yeah.
Which is not a good, that's not good for a partnership.
Not
good synergism. I mean, and these are illustrations made in like probably less than 12 hours. Like how long have, like how long have they been talking about this idea? Like it couldn't have been more than a day.
Yeah.
but it is also worth pointing out that this is not Photoshop. This is not Adobe Illustrator.
This is
if Blanche
pencils.
Is going to be, she's going to be doing colored pencils. So Blanche is going to have to kind of start from the ground up. She can either white out. I know she needs to add a hat to someone, or she's going to have to start the drawing over. So that could be part of the challenge. Exactly. Like, you know, if you tell a graphic designer now, like, oh, he needs a propeller hat. They'll be like, oh, I'll have it by lunch.
Right. That's super easy. Mm-hmm. But she like didn't do like,
so they blew up their whole partnership. Right. She like didn't practice. Do initial. See, that's,
she started coloring
their problem.
In.
You got to do your initial concept sketch. You got to get proof of concept and approval from
like,
the
you need like
author.
20,000 SpongeBobs before you land
on
the SpongeBob.
Correct, on the SpongeBob that the committee decides on, and that's how we make art.
Right. And so they don't, they're not artists.
No.
That's, yeah.
No, I think you're right.
They're
hobbyists.
They're hobbyists. Mm-hmm. If we see, like, if we started a children's book, we would know how it works.
Yeah, we understand the process.
Here's some things that I think we should do, you know. Okay. Anyway.
We should start a children's book, guys.
Yeah, for sure. For sure.
Called Synergism.
We should do it about Anthony and his mom selling cheesecake door to door.
Yeah,
we're gonna write Synergism, and it's gonna be the fastest children's book to be banned in the history. Like page 2, robots are hooking up in front of gargoyles.
Yeah,
and then it's all over.
Gay guys are rubbing up on gargoyles, mm-hmm. and they're having sex in outside of a Howard Johnson.
So they have a big fight, and then we're back to Dorothy and Sophia.
Now they're in the middle of a slideshow. They've been doing this all day, and like they're all of a sudden it starts to lightning thunder.
We can tell that it's a thunderstorm because on set they flash all the lights over the curtains really high.
Yes, they turn the lights on and off like a dimmer really fast.
Yeah. And then they make a sound, and then Dorothy goes,
yeah.
Oh ma.
I don't think.
Oh ma.
and then I have the worst luck in the world, Sophia says, and they have to stay in. And so it's very typical for this to happen in sitcoms.
Because what are they going to do? Pay for them to go to Disney and shoot it? No.
No, they're not going to do it. They're in Burbank. They can't.
They have a hotel room.
They can't travel. Yeah. They have a hotel room. Hotel rooms are the Disneyland of.
That's why, you know, people are always standing at the front door going, oh, the mailman's coming, because they don't have the money to do a long shot. Talk about the things that are happening. Paint me a picture.
Yeah.
So then the next part is my favorite scene in the show. The next part is when Sophia goes to the bar to forget her troubles.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
And she goes up to extremely minor R&B celebrity Freddie Jackson, who's on the piano. And she correctly quotes Casablanca, the frequently misquoted exchange of Casablanca, where people say "Play it again, Sam," which is never said.
I didn't even know that was a Casablanca. I watched Casablanca, but I watched it once.
Right, one time.
Yeah.
So what she's doing is Bogart's exchange with the piano player, and he's asking the piano player to play "As Time Goes By," and he goes, play it for me, Sam, play "As Time Goes By," and the piano player, you played it for her, you could play it for me, if she can take it, so can I. It's always misquoted as "Play it again, Sam." That's not how it goes. She does it correctly, but then hilariously Freddie Jackson plays "It's a Small World After
It's
All."
It's a small world.
It's a pretty good joke. It's a pretty good
it's a pretty good joke.
Golden Girls, good at Casablanca tributes, but no good at wigs.
No good at wigs.
They nailed Casablanca. Wigs, miss it. Miss it by a long shot. And so,
not everyone can do everything great.
Yeah, not everybody. And so that I never thought of this, but I noticed, and this could be someone's joke somewhere, but in this world. But the word
in
the
a world of infinite universes and infinite possibilities of universes, it is someone's joke.
It is someone's joke somewhere. But like the words to "It's a Small World" are very dark. Yeah. It's a world of joy. It's a world of fear.
Yeah.
It's a world of something. It's
a world,
world of tears.
Alas,
and
tears.
And then I was just like, whoa, like that's, like, at first I was like, this
well,
is it
dark or is it realistic? Is it, like that's the yin and yang of life, you know, like that's the advanced concept is we revere birth and we fear death.
Yeah.
But they're the same thing everywhere. And they're both necessary, right?
Yeah. Like, and I mean, also, it's a small, small world that you can't hide from. You can't escape. When you go on the ride, you're in a dark tunnel. And there's nowhere to escape at
all. You're trapped and you're surrounded by multi-ethnic children, which are frightening. Frightening. Real freaky.
Frightening. Like, yeah. I am frightening because yeah. I look like a five-year-old, like one of those things.
Yeah, yeah. You have a shady...
World of joy, it's the world.
And you got that shady fucking cheesecake background.
Yeah.
I don't trust you.
I'm just offering you a cheesecake in the
right. It's a small world.
After all. When I went to It's a Small World, it was raining, ironically. Like
just like it just, like, just like in that fucking Golden Girls. Episode.
Golden Girls. And so there was no line. Because I guess they thought it was closed because it was raining. But I wrote it like three times.
Wow.
Yeah. I was like, I'm not getting tired of this. This is amazing.
And I think it's a very deep song, and I think it's a song that definitely predicts the present where the world is smaller than it ever has been.
Right.
You know, where I meet someone on Tinder and I say, you seem familiar, and then we determine he dated my roommate. Sorry.
Right.
You know, it is a small world.
It is a small, small world.
Yeah.
Also, sometimes you get eaten by an alligator in Disney World.
Sometimes that does happen. Being rich does not mean that you're not going to get eaten by an alligator.
It's a world of joy. It's a world of tears. So I thought about that. I was like, okay.
Yeah.
This is...
Gator will take a kid. Yeah. Make note of it.
Gator will take your kid. So
we didn't want it to happen. We just noticed it has happened.
Listen to all of you.
Yeah.
Listen to all of you.
Gator will take a kid.
Okay.
Alligators know no money. So...
Okay, so then Dorothy shows up because, like, this was the thing, like, they could have gone to the bar together. They didn't have to stay in their room, you know, but they meet up, and then Sophia, you know, does the beautiful metaphor of, like, you can't bottle me like a lightning bug, you know, because then you die. Like, you need to just, like... I don't know.
She meant don't put me in a jar because I'll die.
Jar. Yeah.
And it would be a pretty big jar.
Yeah. Because, like, you should make memories instead of trying to go over all your memories, mm-hmm. especially if you're in Disney World. Like, go out and get wet when you're running to the whatever magic shop that they have. Mm-hmm. I just thought of Tuner's magic shop. Okay, so then they make up. She quotes Bush Senior's inauguration, and it was amazing. And I love that you caught that, like, before they even say anything. You were, like, already laughing. okay, so the next scene, Rose and Blanche make up. But the thing about what Rose found out is that the fable was already written.
Right.
There was a book that she checked out from Miami Public Library.
Her sister gave her.
Her sister told her about it. Like, and so they can't, like, publish a story that's already been written.
Did you know the same thing happened to Helen Keller?
Really? She wrote a book?
She wrote a story, and it was published, and everybody started saying, this is already a story. People were like, I don't know if you know who you're fucking with, but it's Helen fucking Keller. But, like, someone had told her this story, and then she just accidentally plagiarized it. So it has happened before. But she was such a celebrity that people were, like, excited that she wrote this story.
And maybe they didn't tell her that it was a story because she couldn't see or hear.
Right. Obviously, she's not probably read it, mm-hmm. you know, because Braille was not that commonplace at the time. But it's very possible that someone read it to her and it just kind of, it was in her brains.
That's crazy.
It's in her brains.
Well, someone should have read the copyright. Signed her.
Part of the story.
The copyright to her.
Read that to her first. But yeah, so Rose figures out
Tuner the Tiger.
Maybe it was the Tuner the Tiger story. Rose figures out that all the stories she wants to tell are copyrighted. Blanche apologizes for being a real pain in the butt about and being having an artist temperament, let's face it.
Yes.
And then she's sad that they're not going to get rich. And then they decide to go to the beach and see if men's bathing suits fall off.
Right.
Because Blanche is not just a slut. She's a horny slut.
They said that, yeah, she's always a slut. She says, we don't have to waste the entire day because all of this happened in one day. Like, we can still go look at dude's dicks, which is amazing. Hopefully, no alligators.
That's a philosophy right there. That's a beautiful philosophy. Like,
I used to do that. Like, when I had just, like, a tough day, I would go out and try to get dick.
Right.
Like, I'm going to get dick. But I don't do that very often anymore.
One time, my best friend made me go to a nude beach. We went to a beach kind of just past San Luis Obispo. So it was quite a little drive. Mm-hmm. It was called Pirate's Cove. And I saw more dick that day. Like, I probably... That and the dick that I'd already seen, I who knows where life takes us. I probably will see other dick, but I don't have to. Like, I saw so much, like, I saw nerd dick and, like, hippie dick. There was one hippie dick and it had a tan, which I don't think should happen. Like, he's just spent so much time out with his dick. I saw a little kid dick, which is a whole different thing.
Oh,
don't make
wow.
that noise. I did not have sex with that kid.
Yeah.
He was with his folks. But yeah, you don't usually see as a single lady.
That's what
without
stopped
kids.
You.
I think
little kid dick.
I think, like,
it's nature, Genevieve.
Don't be shocked, Genevieve.
Anthony made a noise because dicks are always sexual. I get it.
Dicks are always sexual. To me. Except little dicks. I mean little kid dicks. Like, those
right, little kid dicks are not sexual
at all.
When does an old man dick stop being sexual?
When it doesn't work.
Yeah, and luckily for most of them, there's a very short distance between the dick not working and then they die. So, like, they have a decorative dick for maybe 10 years and then...
Yeah, it's just kind of hanging out there.
Yeah.
For, I know
it's
a
ornamental.
Lot of, like, older gays that used to be tops, and when their dick stopped working, unfortunately had to become bottoms. But I'm like, oh, at least you had an option.
That's so beautiful that they had an option. That's exactly what I was going to say.
Okay, and so... So they go and fuck guys in the beach.
What?
Rose maybe didn't want to, but she did anyway.
She probably just like awkwardly stood by as Blanche got some.
Blanche is like, yeah, oh yeah, just watching.
They also never showed that on the show.
Bush. And then Rose is like, I don't know, we shouldn't do this. And
I think
we were
going to
be authors
some
at
candy.
Some point. So, this is a weird change in our day. So.
we were gonna like be children's authors, and now we're like,
and now we're checking out there,
scoping out that
on the beach. Hey girl, how about that girl?
Okay, and so the next scene, Sophia's stealing a bunch of stuff from the hotel.
Because that's her comfort, because she wasn't allowed to go to motherfucking Space Mountain. Because P.S., they were going to... They went to Orlando for one day. Like, they get there. They fly there. They're there for one day in which they don't get to go to the Space Mountain, and then they go home.
Yeah.
What in the effing Christ?
Why
they're retired.
They
don't have anything else to do. Like, what the fuck are they rushing back for? Cheesecake?
Right. Hey, Rose and Blanche have a cheesecake ready for us, Ma. We have to go back to Miami.
That seems like a good reason to go back, in my opinion. But
sure.
Oh, man. And so then... Dorothy said, you know what? We have a little bit of time. Our flight doesn't leave. Our next day flight doesn't leave for a little bit. Let's go to Space Mountain. And so they don't even show them at Space Mountain.
No, they put on some cream-colored pantsuits and they go to Space Mountain.
Yeah, they just look at it. But they show like some like B-roll of like probably some... This is Disney World, like old.
Welcome to Disney World.
That was like technicolored, like later on in life, and they don't even show them, and then there was just voiceover of them like, we're on Space Mountain.
That's really nice, Ma.
B. Arthur is not going to Space Mountain.
Yeah, she hates Disney.
Yeah, it's a clause in her contract.
It's a clause in her contract. No Space Mountain.
Yeah, sorry.
Yeah. And then Sophia just won at Personal Space Mountain. <Ba-dum-psh>. Anyway, I think we'll close on that.
On that gem. You know, they say pick your strongest joke to close, and I feel like you've done it.
Yeah. My headliner joke.
Oh guys. My god, you guys.
This
I've
is
had
a blast.
I've had so much fun watching and learning, laughing and learning about Golden Girls.
You sound like Jerry Springer at the end, his final thought.
Yeah, final thought. I never gave a lot of time to Golden Girls in the past. And now I get to watch it with Genevieve in a whole other state. It's beautiful.
Yeah. Sometimes you just gotta
we got to see that
the beach.
Sometimes you gotta I fuck people at the beach. We got to see that cat vagina.
Yes.
Well, she is Lady Godiva. What?
Lady Godiva.
I'm doing a dance on a podcast. Song.
All right. And so this comes out. Can I take a peek at your calendar real quick? Okay, so this comes out, I believe, on the 30th of June.
Mm-hmm.
So, Virginia, do you want to promote any shows that you'll be at? Or
well, I mean,
find you online?
I know this is an international show, and so I can tell you, beginning of July, I am at the Seattle Underground the weekend of the 14th, 15th.
Oh, nice!
At the end of July, I am. Doing a special set of shows in San Francisco with Mike Kaplan, the 27th through the 31st.
Nice.
And in September, you can find me in Laughlin, Nevada.
Yay.
Yeah, it's a very exciting life that I lead. all my dates, everything about me, 14 years of blog posts are all on my website, badinia.com, badinia.com. I know it's a stupid name. I'm stuck with it. And also you can download Gothic American, my album, on iTunes. It's also available on Spotify and Pandora and wherever you'd go to not pay for shit. But yeah, be my friend on all the networks. I think I've got about like 400 Facebook friends I can still have. So try to get in under that line. And we're going to have a great time.
Fantastic. So everyone, follow Virginia Jones.
At Virginia Jones. Become my friend. Do everything.
Do everything.
I'm not really Snapchatting. I know that's bad.
No,
I joined Snapchat and I've used it 3 times and I have no idea how to use
it. There's nothing that makes me feel more not millennial than trying to figure out what the fuck is going on with Snapchat.
I know.
I was old school. When I wanted to see a picture of a dick that would disappear in 24 hours, I was on Tiger Text. Okay. What?
Tiger Text?
Yeah, that's how we used to do it.
Tuner the Tiger Text.
Like 5 years ago, that's where we were.
Were they magnificent or mediocre?
Both.
Ooh.
Bit of both.
That's and the Genevieve. Magic of Tiger Text.
Genevieve Rice, international superstar. Genevieve Rice, what's going on with you?
All right. August 25th through 27th, I'm going to be in Columbus, Ohio for the Arch City Comedy Festival.
What?
Yeah. It's my next major date on the calendar. And probably my only date I can think of right now, actually. So you can find me at Genevieve Rice on Twitter and Instagram and Facebook and Genevieve_Rice on Snapchat, which I don't know how to use.
Maybe she'll figure out how to use it, you guys.
I'll get really into
Ohio.
It and the time this comes... It comes
awful
out.
Sidebar, awful sidebar at an hour in, but like Genevieve and I have such distinctive names. Last night I was doing a show in the Valley where the comics do not know me. Like Valley Comics, LA Comics, East Side, West Side, and OC Comics, all different fucking worlds. Every time you show up, you have to start from the ground zero and say, hello, I'm Virginia Jones. I've been doing comedy for 10 fucking years. So A-hole brings me up as there was another woman on the show named Madison. And so the host brought me up as Virginia Madsen. Who is an actress and not me. And the saddest part about it was, as I walked up, this woman's face was all lit up because she thought Virginia Madsen was going to do some comedy. And like, what? I had let her down.
She's like, Virginia Madsen from Sideways doing comedy? Yeah, exactly. Oh my God.
The star of Slam Dance and the popular film Modern Girls, also starring Daphne Zuniga, is going to do a little bit of comedy in a living room in Studio City. And afterwards, the host was like, oh man, I'm sorry I screwed up your name so bad. But you know, there was a woman on the show named Madison. And I'm like, yes. And we look alike, and we all say that the 5 foot nothing Japanese girl, Madison Khan, free plug, you're welcome. And I look exactly alike, and we all sound the same. I get it.
Wow.
But you knew all the names of the different white guys talking about how they like their dick sucked. I get it.
Yeah. You can't remember this name.
Oh, my God. Anthony, where can people find you?
Where can people find me? I'm at Anthony DeSimito on Twitter and Instagram. That's about it. And July 5th, I'm going to be at the Punchline in San Francisco doing a Ron Vi's gay show. So that's going to be super fun.
Ooh, and awesome.
Yay.
And you also do a geisha.
And I'm going to do a geisha. I'm going to, it's a M. Butterfly situation I'm in. Mm-hmm. And so that's going to be great. But for me, it's more like M. Butterface. And I know that was a knock at myself. I'm sorry. And
I want you to be so positive about your face.
And
you are my beautiful snowflake.
I am a little tiny frozen dew of.
You're like
of
a dulce de leche popsicle of adorableness. I think
my name now to be dulce de leche.
Oh my God, it should be.
Or like my drag name to be dulce de leche.
We're going to build your new career. Oh my God.
You guys give it up for Dulce Madison.
Thanks, everybody. So fun.
And along with our own individual Twitters, the podcast also has a Twitter. It's @ thank you for being a podcast, but as an acronym, @ TIFBAP, TYFBAP. You can also find us @ TIFBAP on Instagram and somewhere else. And
everywhere else. Google it.
We're on iTunes, Stitcher, or any other platform you use to listen to us today. Music is by Brian Kokernak and Mike Dennison. And the next episode is season 4, episode 17. And it is titled, I don't know. And so, I don't know the title. That's it. And so,
we should make up a title for it.
Yeah.
Yeah. It is. What would
let's call it? Let's call it something.
Dulce Madison. Mm-hmm. That's the name.
All right. Yep.
Broads and cheesecake.
Yeah, broads and cheesecake. And so, thank you everyone for listening, and then have a beautiful day and or night. Yay!
Gonna stuff a chicken. Gonna stuff the chicken. Like my mama taught me. Like my mama taught me. Gonna take the chicken. Ha ha ha!